Well, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Today, we're going to continue about the names of God. And especially, I want to talk about the God of peace. And so we're going to work our way through the Bible and see how it's in there all the way through, from Old Testament to New, and actually how the God of peace is very important for us. And you may not have realized this. You may say, oh, yeah, I like peace, but the God of peace is very important. So one of the things besides saying good morning, I want to say to you all, shalom. And if you don't know what that means, it has a multiple meanings. It means basically peace, which is obviously what is important for us this morning. But it means contentment, completeness, safety, being sound, having it all together. And so the disciples, of course, when they would meet, greet each other, they would say shalom, or even shalom, shalom, to really greet you. Have peace. You know, and the Lord, when he came, and this is true, many times when the Lord shows up, unexpected maybe even, like after he was resurrected and he showed up with the disciples, he said, peace be to you. Shalom. And it was not only a greeting, it was saying, have peace, don't worry. Don't get upset here. I got some stuff to tell you, to show you, and that kind of thing. So we're going to talk about Yahweh Shalom, or the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. The Prince of Peace is Jesus, of course, and I'm going to read you the scriptures where this comes from. And so continuing to look at peace, we really want to see how Jesus brings peace, not only to his disciples, as I said, but to us. What does it mean to have the peace of God? It's not peace as we would think about it. It's not the peace that we would have. Oh, I feel peace. I'm so comfortable. It's a peace of God. And that last part is so important for us to realize, because there's a distinction between the peace of God and peace. And so we're going to look at the peace of God. I'm not going to look at other peace, other than to say the contrast, the difference between them. So there's many references for peace in the Bible. I learned about the peace of God actually when I was a young Christian, just starting out. I think I was married at the time. It was the beginning of our marriage. And I really, this peace came to me in a very specific way. It's when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, many times, I just don't want to concentrate on that. I can give you my testimony if you want afterwards. But really, understanding what the peace of God is about is what my intent today to really show you. And to give some examples actually from the Bible, so you can go back and look at the examples from the Bible. You don't have to worry about my example or somebody else's example. That's all important as a testimony, but examples from the Bible, you can go and look. What was really going on? One of them I'm going to talk about is Gideon. What was going on with Gideon? So it's interesting if we look at the Old Testament. Judges is where Gideon is mentioned, Judges chapter 6. And really, you look at Gideon, his first interaction, he's a sort of sifting grain and this kind of thing, and kind of in the side so nobody would notice him. He's a very shy guy, kind of. And he's there, and lo and behold, the Lord shows up. It's called a theophany. The angel of the Lord shows up. Jesus, basically. And it says, oh, mighty man of valor. Huh? Me? I'm off in a corner here. Don't pay any attention to me. That's kind of where he starts. And we'll read Judges chapter 6 in a minute. But then he goes on, and the God of peace gives him peace. and says to him, I want you to go destroy the altar of Baal. And that's where the whole town is off. They're enthralled with the altar of Baal. And so he's not sure about it when he does it. He goes out in the middle of the night to do it so nobody would see him. They notice it the next morning and said, who did that? And everybody says, well, Gideon. And they're ready to kill him. And his dad stands up for him and says, if Baal has a problem, let Baal take care of it. Leave Gideon alone. Let Baal go get Gideon. So he, very shy kind of guy, so to speak. Then the Lord says, I want you to go to war. War? Yes, you are going to do it. And so he gathers men to go forth and, what? I've got too many men? God, I got too many men? So he whittles it down to about 10,000. And God says to him, hey, that's too many. And so he says, pick them up, the ones who drink by lapping from the water and the others who lift it up while they're standing. And he says, pick those group, the ones that are lapping, and there are only 300 of them. That'll do, because then the Lord gets the credit, not the army. So, 300 men, they go out. What do they go out with? In their right hand, they have a horn that they're blowing. In their left hand, they have a torch covered with a bottle, which they break. Where's the sword? In the sheath. God got the whole victory, not Gideon, in a sense. I mean, he went out and blew the horn and yelled and all that kind of thing, but they just got so afraid of what they were hearing, away they go. Why in the world would somebody do that? You know, common thought, if I'm going to go out and fight, I don't want both my hands occupied. I at least want a sword in one of them. Yeah, but you're not fighting for yourself. You're fighting for the Lord. And your fighting turns out to be speaking and blowing the horn. And that'll do it. So, the occurrence of Yahweh Shalom, God of Peace, occurs in Judges chapter 6, verses 23 through 24. And you can look in your Bible if you want, but here it is. The Lord said to him, this is to Gideon, peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. Because he's worried. He just saw the angel of the Lord face to face. He's saying, oh, I'm done for. That's it for me. And the Lord says, no, you're not going to die. And we go to the next one. Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is Peace, Yahweh Shalom. That's what it is in Hebrew. The Lord is Peace, the Lord Peace. This is the peace that was given to Gideon in the midst of going to war, in the midst of the whole town's people being against him. It's the Lord's peace. It's not his peace. Notice the difference. It's very important. So Gideon is an example of getting the Lord's peace. A very shy man, if I'm using a minimal amount here. A shy man, having the Lord's peace to go forward, not his peace. I mean, I'm sure, well, imagine if you were Gideon and the Lord says, go to war with 300 men and have your hands occupied so that you can't fight with a sword. I don't know about this, Lord. I mean, there's like 15,000 guys out there. How are we going to do this? I'm going to do it. Just go and do it because you have my peace. Yahweh Shalom, or the Lord of Peace, the Lord is peace, is very important to understand. This is a different aspect dealing in your heart when you have this kind of peace, the Lord's peace. It is not the peace of the world. Or when people talk about peace all the time. Not that peace. It's the Lord's peace. Peace in the midst of turmoil. So So, continuing our walk in the Bible, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. You probably remember this. You heard it last month or a little more than a month ago. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Hebrew, that is Shar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And the next verse, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, and order it in an establishment with judgment. The increase of his government and peace. The increase of the Shar Shalom's peace, the God of peace. The increase of Jesus, obviously we know that was referring to. The increase of peace from Jesus. There is no end. Think about that. What does that mean to you? When next time you say, I'm just feeling like the world's after me. Everything seems to be going wrong. Everything's happening. I can't do this. Where is the Prince of Peace? Have you gone before him? You need his peace, not the peace from the world. You need the Prince of Peace to come in. God, you take care of this. There's so many examples in the scripture for this. I can't obviously go through them all. How do you get this peace? You say, what? How can I get it? Isaiah 26, verse 3 tells us, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace, God's peace, the peace of Jesus. This is the method whose mind is stayed on him. Fixed on God, not fixed on what's going on around you. There can be all kinds of turmoil, but you can walk in peace because your mind is fixed on what's Jesus going to do in this case? Hey, God, you got quite an opportunity here. It's all yours to work on. Yeah. Hey, I'm looking forward to what you're going to do. Yes. That's the kind of peace. You know, how dedicated are you to the Lord? Permanently fixed on God. Your mind is there. Not on what the world's doing. Not on the turmoil. Not worrying about what's going to happen. Oh, how can I do this? Don't worry about that. First, go to the Lord. And that's when he will show you what to do. Okay, now it's time to do this, son, daughter. I'll give you my peace. Now you go forth and do this because I'm telling you to do it. So the Prince of Peace is there for us. And, you know, it's interesting if you compare, like, the Old Testament, we talk through about the peace of God. And then we come to the New Testament, and Jesus shows up. Even in the Old Testament, when we look through it, it's many times the Prince of Peace that's dealing with it. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So Jesus, even in the Old Testament, is working. The angel of the Lord, like I mentioned to Gideon, it's called a theophany. That's a fancy word to say that it's really Jesus appearing as an angel. And Jesus was there and said, don't worry about it. Gideon realized who he was talking to. He says, I've seen God face to face. I'm dead for. Have peace, because I showed you what was going on. Peace. Peace. A strange word. You think about it. How do we operate in peace? We operate by going to the Lord. That's how we get our peace. So the Prince of Peace is there, but now we come to the New Testament, and the Prince of Peace is walking with the disciples. He's here on earth. Some interesting things that he says about the peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the one who has it all. So if we look at John 14, 26 to 27, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, notice the connection here with the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring remembrance of the things I said to you. Next verse, peace I leave with you. The Prince of Peace is giving you peace. And this is not only for the disciples or the people that are alive at that time. This verse is directly to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus' peace, I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid, for the Prince of Peace is giving you his peace. Notice the difference here. Not as the world gives. We're not looking to the world for a peace or any kind of resolution. We look to Jesus. Okay, Jesus, you take care of this. You're the Prince of Peace. You can do all things. Okay. You got a problem here, Lord. They're kind of coming after me or whatever the problem is. Hey, Prince of Peace, you want to come here? Give me some peace and let's take care of this thing, if you would, please. Help me to know what to do or what I shouldn't do. What's going on here, Lord? Are you dedicated to him and let him decide what's going on? And emphasize this again. Jesus comes in John 16, two chapters later, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace in Jesus. But in the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Hey, I give you peace. I've overcome the world. I'll take care of it. Yeah, you got tribulation. Realize that. You're going to have problems. We all have problems, different problems. Why do we have problems? But Jesus says, I give you my peace. I am the Prince of Peace. I can deliver for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're the Prince of Peace. I receive your peace. Not as the world gives, but at your peace. Just let it rest in me. It's not the kind of peace we expect without looking to Jesus. This peace only comes from Jesus or from God. You can't produce this peace no matter how much you try. Oh, I'm just going to, if I just relax a little bit here, just think about it. No, think about the problem. Oh, it'll take care of itself. Nope, won't. It'll come back to you. Sleepless nights. Times when you just can't seem to get it straight. What do I do? That's the trouble. What do? You go to Jesus. Going to Jesus, he'll take care of it. You don't know how. It's not like, okay, here's a magic bullet or whatever. You just say, give me peace that I can get my sleep, that I don't have to worry about this. You're there to take care of it. It's your peace I want, Lord. Sure, the turmoil is still going to go on. Everything's going as the world would want it to go. But your peace, I can walk through this with your peace. This peace only comes from Jesus. No matter what's going on around you, you have to operate with this peace to really have true peace of God. It's tranquility in the midst of turmoil. to say that again. It's tranquility in the midst of turmoil. Doesn't matter what's going on out here. It's what's in here. Lord, help. Give me your peace. You're the Prince of Peace. Take care of this. I'll deal with the turmoil as you tell me how to deal with it, but let's have that peace first. Let me just walk in peace. So the Christian really needs to rely on God to get this peace. We need to concentrate on God, whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Lord, what are you doing now? What's up now? What you got in mind? That's what I want to know. What you got in mind? What are you doing? I don't care what I'm going to do. I'll do what you're doing. It's better. What are you up to? That's a constant question until you get an answer, but then you go on to the next one. What's up, Lord? I'm your child. You want me to do something? I'm here. Consider your servant. Here I am. What's up? Now, there's interesting sidelight. I don't know if it's really a sidelight, but Matthew 10 is an interesting difference. We look at Matthew 10, 34. Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. Whoa, wait, what? Jesus, are you being contradictory here? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. What? Totally different from kind of what I was saying. Read on. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Wait a minute. What are you doing, Jesus? This is you? How can we resolve this? Well, understand what's behind this. I didn't come, Jesus said, to bring peace on the earth. Whoa, there's a clue. I'm bringing conflict. What kind of conflict? Why do you want to be with Jesus? What you doing there? I mean, this Jesus guy, he's too much, you know, however it comes across. You've probably heard this. Do you really, you're a Christian? What? You go to church on Sunday. What? You know, why are you doing that? You got to be out playing golf or going skiing or whatever. That's what the world is telling you, and that's what he's talking against. What are they telling you? You can do this, you can be that. Why are you spending time with Jesus? Why do you go to church? Why does it help you? Yes, it does, but well, you don't want to understand. Notice this conflict that Jesus is bringing up. I didn't come here to bring peace between those kind of folks. You tell them, I go to church because it's real to me. I have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus talks to me. Jesus is with me. You're not? Okay, too bad for you, but he's there with me. You want to know him? Sure, come on. We'll talk about it. That's the difference that the Lord is trying to point out here. Even as close as a family, you know, dad, mom says, nah, you don't want to do that. Why do you want to be a Christian? I mean, look at all this stuff. And a bunch of people get together. They're kind of weirded out. They don't know what they're doing. Dad, Jesus is real to me. I'm not worried about the people there. I'd like to help them. They're my brothers and sisters. But hey, Jesus is the important part. I have peace to say that. That's what Jesus is saying. But I didn't bring peace between, you know, the worldly peace that goes between people. Are you dedicated to me? This is what this scripture is about. Are you given over to the Lord? That no matter what kind of problems people would try to come up with, that you don't want to be here, you don't want to be with Jesus. No. Yes, I do. He's very important to me. I will spend time with him because he's the Prince of Peace and he will give me his peace. Yeah, your peace doesn't sound too good to me, but his peace. So you can ask, is there an example of this in the Bible? Well, kind of underway, but there's one major example found in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, we have the disciples, Peter and John. So here's the situation. They're walking in for prayer, and they see this guy who's lame, and they say, I don't have silver or gold, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Oh, this sets the Sanhedrin, the chief priest, all these higher up guys against them. Like, what are you doing? You can't do this. And they get slapped to jail. Well, imagine, you know, all I did was help this guy. You healed him, Lord, through the power of Jesus' name. And I'm in jail? I'm suffering because of it? Mm-hmm. Yes, you are. But they had peace in jail. Next day, when they come in front of the Sanhedrin, these are, it's like going before the governor, or if you want, going before the president. And he says, yeah, I don't want you to check on it about this guy, Jesus. No, can't do that anymore. And he said, you decide. We're going to believe in Jesus and talk about him. You decide what you're going to do. This is a perfect example of this thing. They're against him, against Jesus, actually. And to Peter and John stand there with the peace of Jesus and saying, we're here, we know what's going on. Yes. Jesus, give me your peace. So they go back, they're released because they had a good argument, let's say. And the Lord led them, of course. So they go back to all the upper room people, and they tell them what happened. And he said, okay, let's pray. And they don't pray like, oh, God, help us. It's like, Lord, you heard them. You know what they're saying. We have your peace. They didn't say that, but that's basically where they're operating from. Lord, consider their threats. But help us to speak your word. You stretch out your hand and heal, and we ask for boldness to declare your word. So this is Matthew 10, is a direct thing like this. Give us boldness to stand against these kind of things. People saying, oh, you don't want to be with Jesus. Be bold. Take the peace that Jesus gives and speak with boldness. Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. I have a relationship with him. I talk to him. He talks to me. We are together. I know him. You don't know him? Well, come on. I can introduce him to you. You got to know that this Prince of Peace, he's got all peace. He comes from peace. He is the one. His name is Prince of Peace. He is in charge. He has it. So he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. This kind of peace is beyond understanding by the world. And to be honest, sometimes for us in situations, I don't understand your peace, Lord, but give it to me. I don't understand what's going on, but give it your peace to me so that I can don't have sleepless nights, don't constantly worry, upset myself, can't eat, can't whatever the problem is. Your peace, which passes understanding, not as the world gives. Your peace, Prince of Peace, give me your peace. You're the Prince of Peace. Give it to me. I need it. So the answer for this is, do you really love Jesus? Do you really put him first? Is your mind fixed on him and on God? These are the requirements that you need. My mind is fixed on the Lord. I declare it to you. I declare it to you, I love Jesus. I know many of you can say the same. I'm not making a difference here. I love him, I'm dedicated to him, and I'll put him first. Does it always work out that, you know, everything is peachy keen, roses? No, not at all. But I have his peace through whatever the world would want to throw towards me. So, kind of a summary, there are two New Testament letters, two verses in the New Testament here that I would like to concentrate on and explore a little bit with you. And that's Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, get before the Lord. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, notice what it said, first part. It's kind of like the conditions. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is so important. I see Christians sometimes are dealing, especially a student. I have a student who was very upset, not with me, with what's going on in the world, in her life. And she was not complaining, but, you know, saying all these problems. Concentrate on Jesus. And she's a Christian, so I could say this. Concentrate on Jesus. He will guard your hearts and minds. He will take care of it. You know, if you don't remember any other verse, well, I actually hope you remember two. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, his peace is not like the world. You know, you don't have to worry about quoting the verse, but remember that part. And then remember this. He will guard your hearts and minds. Jesus is there. He's ready to give you peace. His namesake, that's what he's called. He's a Prince of Peace. He wants to give it to you. Then one more from the New Testament, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. The peace of God rule in your hearts. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to let you pray about it a little bit, but very quickly, let it rule. That means it's got control. It stands there. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, is yours in your heart, in your mind. Let your mind be fixed upon him. For he, the Prince of Peace, will give you peace way beyond what the world can do. No matter what you're facing, Jesus is strong and will be there for you. So, I got so many things going through my mind right now, but let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we come to you as the Prince of Peace. I ask for each one here, your peace would reign in their heart. No sleepless nights, no problems that way. Your name's sake, you are the Prince of Peace, so Lord, you will deliver your peace. We receive your peace, Lord. Let it reign in our hearts. Let it rule in our hearts and minds, that our mind would be fixed upon you, that truly hearing you and understanding who you are and what you are doing is very important, takes center place. And because of that, we can have this peace that passes understanding. We can't understand your peace totally. That's what you tell us. But you will give it to us. And so we can have peace in the midst of turmoil. You say, aren't you upset about this? Aren't you ready to give up? No, Lord, we say to you, give us your peace. And Lord, in each person here, each heart and mind here, let your peace reign. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. So we're going to enter into a time of communion. And I want to read two scripture verses to you to start with. 1 Peter 2:24. I think it'll be up there. He himself bore our sins, being Jesus, of course, his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Notice what that says. He died for our sins. So by his stripes, we were healed. Keep that in mind. The stripes, the body, the bread. Healing is provided for us through that. All kinds of healing, not just for the body. The cup, by his blood, our sins are forgiven. We become righteous before him. Realize this as you partake. But today especially, I also want to read one other verse. I want this to become applicable for us today in Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. Now in Christ Jesus, who once was far, you who have been far off are brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. In other words, no separation between God, other Christians, and us. Keep that in mind as you partake. This is partaking not only across the world, people partake of communion, the body and the blood. You are joining your other brothers and sisters, not only those here, but others elsewhere. Jesus is our peace. Sar Shalom, the peace of God, the Prince of Peace. So I'm going to invite you to come forward, take up the elements, and then go back and pray with somebody. Pray about these things, these two verses, if you want. Pray about them, that the Prince of Peace would provide for you. So come forward, go back to your seat when you're done.
Children are safe in your arms, O Lord. eternity long and find there is not like you.
Yes, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are unmatched, that there is no one else like you. Lord, I thank you for what we've heard, what we've received this morning. Lord, I thank you that when we open up our hearts to you, that we're able to really just open up the same word over and over and always just get more and more from you. Lord, I thank you that your word is eternal. It is living, it is active, and it is breathing in our lives. And so as we just listened and learned all about your peace, God, the peace that surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that when we are in Christ Jesus, we get to experience that peace. Lord, in the midst of turmoil, God, I pray that you would begin to reveal that to every single person here in their own way. But you know better than anybody else how we receive things, how we learn things, how we interpret things. And so I just pray that it would be a personal revelation that is brought on by you, what it means to have your peace. What it means to have your peace. But just as Pastor Larry was preaching, Lord, that it would be something that we would reach out, Lord, that we would declare out, Lord, give us your peace. Even in the midst of this turmoil, even though when we don't understand it, even when we don't feel it, Lord, let us experience that peace. Lord, when we press in, when we lift our voice in worship, when we lift our voice in prayer, when we are coming into alignment with who you created us to be, as we've talked about before, and we are in Christ Jesus, Lord, your word promises that we would experience that peace that surpasses all understanding. And so, Lord, I just pray that that would be revealed to every single person here in their own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, you guys are dismissed. I pray you have a great week. However, if you need prayer, please do not hesitate to come to the front. We will have people available to pray for you here up at the front of the stage on my right-hand side, your left-hand side. But otherwise, have a great week, you guys. Stay warm. If you have kids in Kids Church, please go get them checked out. But otherwise, you guys are dismissed. Thank you.